It's really been nice to sing with you guys this morning and worship God. Thank you. Thank you for the men's trio. It's awesome. So, yeah, I'm Becky A. I've been working with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, for the last several years. So I've been working in training and sending missionaries and discipling. So it's been really a privilege to work with so many different people. And I thought I would just give a quick little update. You know, these people are going into all the world and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded us. And so I want to tell you just about a few people. Joey, Melissa, Alyssa, Kevin, Josh, Bethany all went from the USA over to Romania in Eastern Europe. And one thing that they do is they reach out to the Roma people group. They are traditionally nomadic, but they've settled near towns and cities now for work. And they're often known as gypsies. So maybe for their music or their dancing. But they're also known for their rough lives, their intense needs. They're maybe as beggars or thieves. They're looked down on and they're mistreated and they lack opportunity. But their lives matter to God. So our team goes into one Roma village. And recently, about a couple years ago, they led a young Roma girl, teenager, to Jesus, and she accepted Jesus. So Margit was soon baptized and she started sharing Jesus with her community. Well, of course, they're very poor, so her mom and dad and a lot of the parents will go to Hungary in the summertime and they'll work in the fields there so that they can earn money. And the older kids will stay home and look after their younger siblings, which is what Margit usually did. Last year, she decided she wanted to go to Hungary with her parents. She wanted to work with them because she wanted them to see Jesus in her life. She wanted to help them. So she did that. It was long, hard, hot work in celery fields. And other workers laughed at her because she was very vocal about her faith and about her love for Jesus. But she persevered. She did it. And then this year, she's been able to distribute Bibles. They were able to get audio Bibles. Because as I said, her people are poor. They've lacked opportunity. Most of them don't get to do school, maybe even past fourth grade. So most can't read and write, including her parents. Her parents were the first to receive the first audio Bible, and they've been really excited to be able to hear it. And just recently, Margit's mom accepted Jesus as her Lord. So, and this week, Margit is helping lead a VBS for kids in the community. So it's really exciting just to see how the gospel is spreading and bringing hope to a people group, the Roma. Now, I wanted to just quickly mention my friend Esther, middle-aged Korean mom. She felt God calling her to Vietnam, so up she went. And she found a church. They trusted her. She loves kids. She said, "Can I teach them about Jesus?" They said, "We don't usually do that because of communism. We don't teach our children. That's not what we do." But they let her, and she had the opportunity. God opened doors for her to teach children about Jesus. And then there's Judith from Argentina. Our team met her over in the country of Lebanon. She loves Muslims, has a heart for the Muslim people. And so she came back to Lebanon, Pennsylvania, where we were, and improved her English. She's back in Argentina right now leading a transcultural school of missions, preparing to go back to the country of Lebanon. And I could also, you know, just quickly mention my friend from South Korea who went to Mongolia, and Colombian Huli who went to Spain. There's Gisele from Brazil. She's been over in Africa, but also she's right now in Philadelphia, USA. I have a friend from Mexico, Georgina, and her husband David from Indonesia. They're in Japan right now. And Josh from India is training to go from USA is training to go to India. You probably know some names of people too. But what I wanted us just to notice that God calls people from everywhere to everywhere because he wants everyone who will yet come to him to come into the family of God, into the people of God. He's calling people for himself. Well, I mentioned about the Roma community and a little bit about what they're like. And I think if people asked us what Canadians are like, we could probably describe some things about Canadians. I hear we say sorry a lot. But recently I've been thinking a lot about the people of God. What are the people of God like? Any suggestions? How would you describe the people of God? Compassionate, yeah. Caring. Bringing hope. Ordinary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting to think about, isn't it? How do we describe the people of God? I was thinking about how God describes his people. There are many different ways, but I thought of the verse in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, which says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So God's people were chosen, royal priests. That would be like people who help others connect with God. Were treasured by God, declaring God's praises, living in the light, belonging, recipients of mercy. Wow, it's worth taking time to think about each of these. Do it. Let God thrill your heart and also call you up into our true identity. Well, I didn't want to stop there. I wanted to just continue to look in 1 Peter. If you have your Bibles, you can join with me. I'm going to look at 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold that perishes though refined by fire, your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Amen. The word of the Lord. Isn't it awesome? I noticed the first thing is that God's people have a living hope. We sang a bit about it this morning. Last week I was with my friend, and she was telling me about her children's camp. So just as the camp was, just before it was about to begin, one of the staff, a young 20-year-old, was playing her guitar, practicing one of the worship songs, when tragically she dropped dead. She had an unknown heart condition that no one knew about. It was devastating, of course. So now these young camp staff are trying to pull together the pieces and decide what they're going to do. Well, surprisingly, They found courage to go forward with the week of camp. But where did they find this strength? It was in Jesus. And my friend says they spent the week telling the children over and over again, trusting Jesus is our only hope. Trusting Jesus is how we live. Trusting Jesus is our only hope. Trusting Jesus is how we live. And you know, in Jeremiah 17, 13, it says the same thing. Lord, you are the hope of Israel, the spring of living water. And 1 Timothy 4:10 says, we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people. Friends, God's people have a living hope. God is the only living God, and the fountain of life is with him. And there's a song, Oh Give Thanks, by Wendell Kimbrough. It has a little line that says, you are the only God who hears. That's our God. He hears us when we call out to him. And his word is living, active, and powerful. It feeds us. His presence is always with us. He's alive. His comfort and his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And not only that, but because Jesus died, his blood speaks that better word. And God raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive. So death had no hold on him. And this gives us hope ourselves that even the greatest enemy, death, has already been conquered by Christ. Well, sometimes we still have questions in our hearts and minds, even though we know these things. So that's why there's a song called Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. And I've asked Pat to help just read out some of those questions, and I'll give the answers that the song speaks to us. Thanks,
okay.
Pat.
Okay, and the first question, what is our hope in life and death?
Christ alone, Christ alone.
What is our only confidence?
That our souls to him belong.
Who holds our days within his hand? What comes our way apart from his command? And what will keep us to the end?
The love of Christ in which we stand. And then the chorus, which I love. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now whenever we confess. Christ, our hope in life and death. So we have a living hope because of our living, eternal God. Well, the second thing that I noticed here in 1 Peter was that God's people are shielded by God's power. Verse 4 says, we are shielded through faith by his power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So Jesus is coming back, and while we wait, we are shielded. Shielded from what, you might ask? Actually, we all have many things that we need shielding from. Verse 6 says, for a little while, we may suffer grief in all kinds of trials. For some, that might feel like an understatement. But the bottom line is that our faith enables us to be shielded by God's great power. Now, a shield deflects and intercepts attacks. A shield also provides protection and shelter from the enemy. So we have Almighty God as our shield, as our defense. There's no shield like it, not even close. And anything that we do suffer, God is using, he allows it and he uses it so that our faith can be refined and purified, so that it's even stronger. It's a win-win. And not only that, our trials can push us closer and closer to Jesus. It's where we need to be, and into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. So it's a day-to-day living hope that we can hold on to as we face our daily challenges. We are shielded, we are protected, and we're strengthened while knowing that there is an end in sight. Is your faith holding on? Do you believe God's power is shielding you? that same power that created the world out of nothing and raised Jesus from the dead. Do you believe it for you, for today? The song again answers some of those questions and helps us to remember.
All right, what truth can calm the troubled soul?
God is good. His character, God is good.
Where is his grace and goodness known?
In our great Redeemer's blood.
Who holds our faith when fears arise? Who stands above the stormy trial? Who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore?
The rock of Christ. And oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah now whenever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. So God's people have eternal living hope, and we're shielded by God's power. And finally, I notice that God's people love him. Verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Dr. Kinlaw is an Old Testament Bible scholar. He said, we must believe that Jesus is God and Messiah, that is the promised one who was sent and anointed to save humanity. So we must believe that, two things about Jesus, but we also must believe that he is what we need and what we are looking for. It's not just an intellectual assent. It's not living out a religious routine. It's a heart transformation of being someone's beloved, of surrendering ourselves to him. For it's Christ's love that captivates us and makes us his own if we will let him. It's our holy heavenly lover saying to us in the words of Hosea 2:19 and 20, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge Yahweh, the Lord. Do you love him, people of God? Do you really love him? Can you say, I belong entirely to another, and his name is Jesus? Do you have that joy? It's ours as the people of God. And about the salvation of our souls, I just wanted to read from Romans 5, verse 5, 8, and 9. It pretty much sums it up. It says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified, or put in right relationship, through his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And so in this song that we've been following, I notice that the last stanza has a response or a refrain of people who love him. So this time I'm going to ask the questions, and hopefully Pat has some answers. So people of God, unto the grave, what will you sing?
Christ, he lives. Christ, he lives.
And what reward will heaven bring?
Everlasting life with him. And we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore.
Amen. Amen. I think you should try and sing the chorus with me, because I like the hope springs eternal part. So I'll sing a line and you can try and repeat it. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. And then, oh, sing hallelujah now whenever we confess. Try that part. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah now and ever we confess. Christ, our hope in life and death. Christ, our hope in life and death. It's just a great chorus to, you know, I like that phrase, our hope springs eternal, and I hope that will help us to remember. And Generations Church and everybody who's listening today, we are the people of God. God and ours is an eternal living hope. Ours is the shield of God's power through faith. And ours is the joy of living in his unfailing love. And like our missionary friends, this is something we can't keep to ourselves, because God is yet calling all who will come from every tribe, language, nation, and people to be a part of this amazing people group, the people of God. Now, I have with me this little gold box that I was given, and it's filled with paper hearts. So it was supposed to be a way to stir up prayer, and I want to share it with you. It's stirring up prayer so other people will come into the family of God. You think about your most wanted, that is, the ones you most want to see come to Jesus. And then you put their each name on each heart. So you might have 3 or 4 or 5. That's a good number to start with. And then you make a commitment to pray and even fast daily for them until that happens. Want to try? Want to join me? I've been doing this. Pray for them. Answer their questions with the words of living hope. It's Jesus, as we know. And if you're not part of the family of God yet, you may be somebody's most wanted. And of course, you are always God's most wanted. But if you feel him stirring your heart with his love today, maybe you hear his blood calling your name, I urge you to believe that Jesus is both God and Lord and what you need. And open your heart and make the choice today to turn from your own efforts and surrender your life to him, to come into his love as the people of God.